إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، لا يأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر إلا من كان فقيهًا فيما يأمر، فقيهًا فيما ينهى عنه، حليمًا فيما يأمر، حليمًا فيما ينهى عنه، رفيقًا فيما يأمر، رفيقًا فيما ينهى عنه. هذا ما قاله الإمام ابن تيمية رحمه الله في باب الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. As we have left you last time, we were talking about the rules and the principles for da'wah. Every one of us is involved in da'wah and should be involved in da'wah. One of those principles that Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has set for us consisted of three points: fiqh, patience, and kindness. Fiqh, patience, and kindness, three ingredients for those who enjoin good and forbid evil, as set by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Knowledgeable in what you are commanding people. You should know what are the obligations, and you should know what are the prohibitions. Solid obligations, solid prohibitions. It's not makruh, it's not mustahab. It is wajib wa haram. This is what you enjoin good and forbid evil in. The rest of them, it's a reminder. It's a reminder for the brothers. It is not that you come and you say or you do whatever you want to do without having this knowledge about at least what you are enjoining or trying to forbid people from doing. The purpose of enjoining good and forbidding evil is to make the evil extinct. Extinct from where? From earth? We cannot do that. It is not popular. It is not common among people. If it is committed at home where people don't see it, we are not required to spy on people to enjoin good and forbid evil. But we don't want to see evil in the streets. We don't want to see evil in the masajid, for instance. We want to see goodness always in the environment where we are. So this is the whole purpose. So when you enjoin good and you forbid evil, put in your mind, I am going to stop that person from doing haram. This is my goal. I'm doing that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to do it where I get rid of that haram. And what comes to my mind is high percentage that I'm going to accomplish that. If I know that there is a small chance that I can make a change, I should not do it. If I have a chance in my mind that it's going to be bigger, I should not do it. If I know that I don't know if this is commanded or this is prohibited, I should not do it because I need to know it first. It's not like, brother, how come you don't pray in jama'ah, for instance? And then the brother tells you, well, I pray at home. I pray with my wife, I pray with my children. And you don't know the jama'ah or the obligation of the jama'ah and what the scholars said about praying in the masjid and the conditions for the jama'ah and such, then you shouldn't say it, because he's going to tell you why. Then if you say, well, because jama'ah is an obligation, and that's it, what's your proof? You don't know. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit for you to do that, because expect the person to come back with a question. And if you don't have the answer, then you are not fit for it. As I said before, it's not that we are expecting you to know everything. The issue that you're talking about, you should be knowledgeable about it. It doesn't matter. If you want to talk about salah, you want to talk about siyam, you want to talk about good manners, just know that. So you need to have the knowledge. The second one, patience. I said it before, I'm going to give you the levels of patience. You have sabr, and then you have kadhm, kadhm al-ghayr, then you have afu, then you have safih, then you have safh al-jameel, then you have hilm. These are the levels. Patience is the minimum required from you when you enjoin good and forbid evil. Patience doesn't mean that you don't show anger. You don't get angry, but you may show anger. Your face becomes red and everything, but you restrain yourself. The higher level is kadhm al-ghayz. You hide your anger and you don't say anything, but deep inside you're angry. This is higher level than patience. Then you go with afu. Afu is you don't show your anger and you don't do anything to the person who angered you. And then you have higher than that, safih. Safih is you don't show anger, you don't do anything to the person, and you don't bring it up to him. So you may tell the person, brother, you have insulted me, you know there are other people there and I don't like the way you said it, but you don't do anything to him. But you have, in a way, reprimanded him. Higher than that, the highest one, is safh al-jameel. You don't show anger, you don't do anything to him, you don't mention it to him, you don't punish or do anything, rather, you give him a gift. You give him something. It doesn't have to be right away. You do it whenever. This is a safh al-jameel. And the highest is hilm. So Ibn Taymiyyah, when he said you need to be knowledgeable and halim. Halim, yani, be higher than just simply patient. Because you can ask me a question or say something to me, and if I show anger or I say something to you, it's going to turn you off. Even though I did not punish you, I did not say anything bad to you, but just for me telling you something, but if I just look at you with a smile, I'm containing everything, then you will be more to come and hear and listen to me, because that's the point, is we are trying to attract you to listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And then kindness. Kindness, you have to be kind. You have to feel like you are the person. Put yourself in the shoes of the person that you're asking. How would you like people to talk to you? How would you like people to, if they wanted to tell you stop something, how do you want that presented to you? And deal with the people likewise. Pretend that you are being addressed and address people the way you like to be. Enjoining good and forbidding evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran gave us the top and the best rules and guidance for seeking or for enjoining good and forbidding evil. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة هذه رقم واحد والموعظة الحسنة رقم اثنين وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن رقم ثلاث. We will talk about those three points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said for us. He also subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أي على علم أنا ومن اتبعني يعني الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن تبعه في الدعوة منا نحن المسلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, commanded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, this is my path, this is my way. I call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with knowledge, me and those who follow me, which is me and you. Let's take the rule number one. Al-hikmah fi al-da'wah. Hikmah, wisdom. What is the definition of hikmah? Al-hikmah, qala al-ulama, wad' al-shay' al-munasib fi al-makan al-munasib fi al-zaman al-munasib aw fi al-waqt al-munasib. Wad' al-shay' al-munasib fi al-makan al-munasib fi al-waqt al-munasib. Yani when you do something, you say the suitable thing in the suitable time, in the suitable place. This is wisdom. I see, look at the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone urinated in the masjid. This is small evil, big evil. It is haram? Yes, haram. What are you supposed to do? Stop it. Okay. Choices. Grab the person, throw him out. Scream at him. Leave him. There are many choices in front of you. What's the goal? You don't want to make the masjid impure. If you fight with him, what's the result? Impurity everywhere. If you scream at him, same thing might happen. If you leave him, he got the masjid impure. So which of those three evil is the best? Now, we're talking about impurity now. Let's talk about the feelings of the person. Someone came and grabbed him. How is that person going to feel? And what is he going to do? Somebody screamed at him. How is he going to react? And what is he going to do? If we leave him, are we going to leave him and just let it go, not mention it? Or are we going to talk to him? And how is his feeling going to be? Companions, radiallahu anhum, they have the knowledge, but they did not have the patience nor the kindness for that particular incident, because they all wanted to stop him from doing this evil. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed that he stepped in to fulfill the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, hikmah. He said, "La tuzrimu, da'u, don't cut him off, leave him, let him finish." In the masjid? Yes, in the masjid, let him finish. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew where the man came from. Bedouin. For a Bedouin to know the religion is a miracle. They don't have time for that. They're so far away from civilization. They are rude in their lifestyle, in their dealings. They don't mean to be rude, but this is the way they are. They're tough, they're harsh. That's number one. Number two, the masjid was just like any other area. Sand. What's the difference between this particular spot and that particular spot in the mind of that man? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized those situations and let him finish. And at the end, he stepped in to enjoin good and forbid evil in the following. He said, "This is a masjid for prayer and for addressing Allah. It is not fit for it to do what you're doing." It's not fit for it to do what you have done. Now he noticed that the Sahaba were about to jump in. And he noticed what the Prophet ﷺ did. Look at the result. He made dua for Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, excluded everyone from the companions from that dua. They didn't do anything to him, but they were planning to. Look at his feelings toward them, and the feeling toward Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma arham Muhammadan wa la tarham ahadan ghayra. Oh Allah, have mercy on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and don't have mercy on anyone else. He meant the companions around there. So hikmah, softness where softness fits, harshness where harshness fits. You might deal with a person, if you tell him, "Oh brother, you know this is haram," it's not going to work. You need to step up and be a little bit tough and be firm with it, so he will cut it off, especially with a person you know. You know that person, this is the way he is, kindness does not work with him. So you need to be tough with that person. Another thing is knowing the psychology of the person. And naturally, you have to know the person in order for you to know that. You cannot just come and enjoin good and forbid evil with someone you just met. And you come and you start teaching him how to pray. He's not going to like that. He's going to see that as an insult. So You know the person. If you know someone else who knows him, send that person to talk to him. If not, then try to break the ice by getting to know him first. Assalamu alaikum, brother, what's your name? My name is so-and-so. Good to have you. First time I saw you. You know how it is. It's nice here, this and that. And keep talking with that person slowly, slowly. And then you can just smooth yourself in. You know, brother, I noticed something, you know. Yani, I hope that you will not take it hard, but yani, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you go on. This person is going to accept it a lot more than just from nowhere you're coming. I don't know who you are, and you're coming to tell me the way you're praying is wrong. And I have been doing that for 40 years, and now I see someone, I don't know who he is, coming to tell me I don't know how to pray. Even if he takes it and doesn't say anything to you, he's not going to apply it, and he's not going to like it very much. Also, another thing that you need to know is the status of the person. You don't address a person of high status with the same language you address a person of a low status. Yeah, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he sent Prophet Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Be very kind with him. This man is a tyrant. This man claimed he's Allah. If you don't say the good words to him by saying the honorable so-and-so, your honor or your highness or whatever good word that fits that person, he's not going to listen to you. He's going to see that as an insult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Musa alayhi salam with that message, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرْ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, for that reason, he made da'wah. What is da'wah? It's enjoining good and forbid evil. What's the best good that you can enjoin? Call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the best evil that you can kill? Stop people from worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the biggest thing. How many Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that publicly? 3 years he did it privately before he moved to the streets. 3 years was calling people privately and teaching them and educating them and calling them. And he used to call whom? His family, his relatives, his friends, and the friends called their friends. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu went and told his friends and so forth, and they were doing that among people they know. Because it's better when you call someone you know, and he did that for 3 years. Also taking opportunities. One of the rules is to take the opportunity. You know, sometimes calamities are evil. Nobody likes it. But it's an opportunity for a person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to step in at that time. Because during the time of calamities, hearts are very soft. They're very susceptible, easy for you to impact them. Why? Because when you are inflicted with a calamity, you need help. And you are very fragile. You want something to strengthen you. So the person steps in and starts to talk and remind about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about His mercy and about all of those things, and to teach the person the patience and all that. You find the person accepting that. Because the purpose, brothers and sisters, of every calamity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes the people with, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So they may come back to their senses and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they were supposed to be. People deviate. Admonitions is not working. People who enjoin good and forbid evil may not be there. People need to come back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slaps them with something. Now they have time to sit because they need to gather themselves to deal with that situation. I may not have money. Where am I going to go? My friend is not going to give me. I don't have enough money. A person with right mind, he connects with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, help me. Someone died. Who is going to take care of me? A wife, her husband died. Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to take care of the children? You about to despair, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The minute you are inflicted with a calamity or any sort of pain, first thing you need to do, stand, stop, think, what am I doing wrong? Always don't point the fingers at your brother or at your sister or at your mother or at your wife, at your children, at your employer. What am I doing wrong? Why I am inflicted with this? You will find a lot of things bad that you are doing. What do? Time to say astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, and you mean it. You stop whatever you're doing bad. And then you will see things are changing. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries us with calamities, so we can come back. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. All the trouble that we are in, just a taste of what we deserve. It's not everything we deserve. ولو يؤاخذ الله الناس بظلمهم ما ترك عليها من دابة. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish us for everything we do, we will be extinct. Not the evil will be, but us will be extinct, because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He wakes us up. Some people wake up, some people don't. Those who don't, what is the tradition? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start bestowing all of good things on them. Life is wonderful. You want money? Have it. You want children? Have it. Good jobs? Have it. Good status? Have it. Whatever you desire, have it. Until you feel content that, oh, Allah loves me, oh, I am the most wonderful person, wow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you, and it's the end. The end. أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة. When they are happy with what we have given them, while they are insisting on being evil, the punishment seizes the people and they are over. So we take opportunities when, or the person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the opportunity when bad things happen to people, and this is the time for da'wah. This is the time that you step up your da'wah. This is the time you show people how to be patient, show the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than telling the person you deserve what you have because you are involved in riba, because your wife is not wearing the hijab, because you do nothing to your children. So what you got is what you deserve from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not a call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it is true. It's true. But it's not a way to call a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. We talked about that before. But every time you read the Quran, every time you read the stories, you derive more and more benefits from it. And you can never reach an end where this is the maximum benefit you get. Here is a situation. Yusuf alayhi salam in jail with other people. Not two, but many others. These two had a dream. Strange dream. They wanted interpreted. Why did they go to Yusuf alayhi salam? How come they didn't go to another prisoner? Other prisoners are there. But number one, Yusuf alayhi salam, his behavior was the behavior of a righteous man. His actions, the actions of a righteous man. His words, the words of a righteous man. His kind was his words. And he reflects his face when you see it. It makes you feel good. You know, just like what some of the tabi'een said, that a person who applies the sunnah, you see the sunnah in his face. You see the brightness in his face. You see the face alive. One of the muhaddithin, he was reporting a hadith, and one person entered the masjid while he was saying the hadith, and he added a word commenting on the person. And those who write the hadith, they wrote his word as it's part of the hadith, and they call it hadith mudraj, or the statement itself. He said, من قام الليل حسن وجهه أو كما قال. Any person who prays tahajjud, his face becomes beautiful. He knew that person does that, and he was entering the masjid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ, the day when some faces become bright, white, the day of judgment, and some faces become gloomy, the scholar said, bright white of the people who follow the sunnah. People who follow the sunnah. So Yusuf alayhi salam was fulfilling and applying all of that. Look at their work. وَدَخَلَ السِّجْنَ وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانَ قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَحْمِلُ فَوْقَ رَأْسِي خُبْزًا تَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْهُ نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is the catching one. We seeing you, we are seeing you that you are one of the good people. That's why we came to you. We came to you because we see goodness in you. We did not see that goodness in some other people. That's why we came to you. Yusuf alayhi salam took advantage of that point. They're coming to him, asking him. So he wants to take the advantage by calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. So what did he do? He used the hikmah. And what is the hikmah? He started to attract them to his conversation. And he started to tell them things that affirms what they're saying about him. قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمَا. I've always told you what you're going to eat, and it was the same thing that I told you. Confirming the truth that they already know. And what did he say after that? He didn't say, this is because I know, this is because I'm a knowledgeable person. ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. This is from Allah. It's not me. See, he wants to connect them to Allah. He confirmed his dealings with them, that he's a good person. And he said, this goodness that you see that brought you to me, to tell you what your dreams are, is from Allah, the one that you are leaving. The one that you are leaving, the one that you are worshipping, the one that you are abandoning. And he did not leave it there, because there are hints. And sometimes people, you have to be explicit with things to say it. So he said, إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. He didn't say like you. They don't believe in Allah. He said, I have left my home because I left people who don't worship Allah. He didn't say like you guys. And then he started to talk about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ أَبَائِي. He said, I followed the path of my forefathers. And then he said, مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نَعْبُدَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِن شَيْءٍ. It's not fitting for us to worship someone different than Allah. And to not worship something different than Allah is the biggest ni'mah that you can ever have. ذَلِكَ مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا. This is the blessing of Allah that He guided us to worship Him. And then what he concluded with, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ أو لَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Many people don't show gratitude. Then after he said all of that, he came all the way and then he told them the meaning of their dreams. So he took the advantage, even he was in the worst situation himself, in jail, accused. You know, you can go to jail sometimes because you committed a crime. Yeah, you feel bad, but you deserve it. But when you are accused with something, it is very painful. A person is usually thinking hard about himself a lot more than others, not worried about others. He's just trying to figure out, I don't deserve it. But yet, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam took advantage of that. Another rule, al-maw'idha al-hasana, Al-maw'idha al-hasana. Maw'idha. Concentrate on the word maw'idha. Maw'idha. Advice or admonition. Advice. Good advice. Look at what one of the companions was asked. Abi Wa'il qal, kana Abdullah, yani Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu an, yudhakkir an-nas fi kull khamis. Abdullah ibn Umar used to admonish people every Thursday. This is what one man told him. Ya Aba Abdul Rahman, lawadattu annaka dhakkartana kull yawm. We love to hear from you every day. Not every Thursday. Once a week, that's too little. We need more. قال أما إنه يمنعني من ذلك أني أكره أن أملكم وإني أتخولكم بالموعظة كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بها مخافة السآمة أو السآمة علينا. He said, I like to do it too, but I'm doing it once a week because this is how Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do it once a week. Because he said, I don't want to bore you. Too much talking sometimes bores the person. That's an answer for many of the questions. Sheikh, what should I do? My mother is not wearing the hijab. Or my sister is not wearing the hijab. Or my wife is not wearing the hijab. I have talked to her, I have admonished, I have, what should I do? Should I give up? Should I do this? Here is the answer. Even good admonition bores the person. How about when you keep telling someone about something, do this, do this, do this, change this, change this, change this. And I told you that before. It turned out one lady cussed the companions because her daughter-in-law continued to, every time she does something, she tells her, this is not what the companions did. This is not how the companions do it. This is how not the companions. She got so angry. She told me that. She said, I did not mean it, but it just, it's ridiculous. Everything, this is not how the companion walk. This is how they talk. Everything how the companion. If an admonition gets the person angry, how about when you are going to tell him to stop doing something that he likes doing? So you need to take time, you need to take opportunities, you need to use wisdom, you need to take to find when the person's time, what is the best thing that he likes to do, where should I take him, what should I say, when should I say it, how should I say it, maybe I need to tell someone else to say it, maybe I send it an email to them, maybe I do it, you know, has anyone ever thought of making da'wah through an email? I have a wife. I need to change her. She's not listening to me. I tried and everything. I'm giving up. I'll find something, a topic that talks about that thing, and I send her an email, not me, through someone else's email, through Irving group, through Yahoo group, whatever group you have. I send it to her. You never know. She might read it, she might not. But you can tell if she read it or not, because somehow you can manipulate things and find out. But has anyone thought of that? Has anyone used those? Of course, you have better phones than this, but this phone for building relations in da'wah, especially with your wife. How often you sent a message to your wife, I love you? How often? No, really. I mean, we send it to people and we text and we do everything. But to the people that we need to build relationship, we don't use it. To your children, your children in the gym, Allah knows what they're doing. Send a message. Son, salamu alaykum, did you pray? Yes, he might tell you, yes, I prayed and he did not. But if you continue to do it and you are keen on it at home, it will work. It will work if you continue to do that. The same thing with friends, the same thing with wife, the same thing with people. Take advantage of all emails, text messages, anything that you find people searching for so many things the wrong way on the internet. Why don't you search for something concerning your problem and see what you can read there, how to solve the problem with that. But unfortunately, we're not paying attention. That tells you we are not really keen about working the problems that we have. So this is an advice, that an admonition, that they take time for it before they do it, so they will not bore other people with it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, long recitation in Jumu'ah prayer and short khutbah, a sign, both are signs of the knowledge of the person who is delivering the khutbah. Yani, if you are really knowledgeable, khutbah is very short, recitation is long in the Quran. Many people they say, Shaykh, how come you don't apply that? Right? And those who say that, it's not for the purpose of fulfilling that, it's because they want to get out quickly. So it's not good intention. Clean your intention before you accuse. That's number one. Number two, who told you half an hour is long? Yeah, who told you? Where did you get that from? What's the criterion? When I pray Isha, 10 minutes, and you say this is too long, who told you it's too long? What is too long and what is too short? To me, 15, 20 minutes is normal. To others, 5 minutes is too long. To others, they wish that there's no prayer for Isha. So which one to follow? It is the Sunnah, the tradition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, number one, you don't know how long the khutbah. But assuming that 30 minutes is long, look what Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah said. قال الإمام القرطبي رحمه الله قال علماؤنا إن في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر من ذكر هادم اللذات مع قوله كل نفس ذائقة الموت كلام مختصر وجيز جمع التذكرة وأبلغ في الموعظة وفيه ما يكفي السامع ويشغل الناظر ولكن القلوب الغافلة تحتاج إلى تطويل الوعاظ وتزويق الألفاظ ولقد كان السامع له صلى الله عليه وسلم يستطيع أن يعد كلامه ومع ذلك إذا تكلم أعاد الكلام ثلاثا ليفهم عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم. Beautiful word. He said, our scholar said, in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mention death a lot, or remember death a lot. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every soul shall taste death. He said this is an abbreviated or abridged talk, and very short, and it has a great reminder, and it has an awesome admonition, and it is sufficient for any person who hears the admonition and any person to reflect on those two hadith and the ayah. But the heedless hearts, people who are far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forces us to go in details, forces us to explain every little thing, that makes us make the khutbah long. Because if we don't make it long and we do it the way the Prophet ﷺ did it to the companions, people will enter with zero and exit with zero. What did he say? We didn't get nothing from what he said. And many people don't care. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, he used to repeat the word 3 times, so people understand what he's saying. So what's the point from the khutbah? To make you understand the admonition. And if you come here and I say words that you cannot relate to, what kind of a khutbah is this? Nobody benefited. And this is an opportunity for everyone who, many people don't hear a word about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole week, and they come for half an hour. You need to take an advantage of that and make sure that you send the message. Also, another rule is you need to realize the environment that you are enjoining good and forbidding evil. Because you want to know where are you before you talk. remind people, for instance, if they are smothered in good things, you know, look what you have here, brother. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at that nice office that you have. Look at the family. Look at this. Remind the person, wherever he is, always connect him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, when it comes to ni'am, there are ni'am that you are in. And there are ni'am that you are expecting. And there are ni'am that you are in, but you don't know it. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, if you count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not count them. Because many of us enjoying so many ni'am, but they don't know it. Once they miss it, or they lose it, that is the time to know it. So you need to reflect on that. تَلْوِينَ الدَّعْوَى. تَلْوِينَ الدَّعْوَى. You need to color your da'wah. يعني, change. Call the person in the morning, calls him at night, calls him privately, calls him secretly, or it's the same thing, publicly, send him an email, talk to him on the phone, meet him in person. Not all the time the same. It's not all the time you sit on the table, you start attacking the person, eat with your right, eat with your right, eat with your right, eat with your right. Okay, you said it every time. Sometimes do it by hint, ya akhi. Tell a person who's eating with his right to eat with his right, not the person who's eating with his left. He will get the message. Do it indirectly. Sometimes let someone else talk, not you. Sometimes talk about the sunan of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and come to that without making the person feel that you're talking about him. Who followed that path? And we know Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that, but who else did that kind of da'wah? Prophet? Okay, I guarantee you if I say that you will know. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, قَالَ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا وَإِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا وَإِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. وقبلها شو؟ دعوتهم ليلا ونهارا, during the night, during the day, privately, in the public. Every chance, every opportunity, he took it to call his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the result? Millions of people accepted his message because he called for 950 years. 80 to 85 people. He exhausted every possible way of da'wah, and this is what he got. We go back to the saying of Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah. Heedless hearts of the people requires us to beautify our speech and to explain and find details and everything to make it long so we can get the message through. If a prophet could not get that message to people for 950 years, you can imagine how many people come to Jumu'ah prayer and leave Jumu'ah prayer with very little or no benefit from the Jumu'ah. And maybe that's why you find people coming the last minute. I mean, I cannot imagine myself coming to Jumu'ah prayer twice in a row, standing at the front waiting for Aqim as-Salah. Or even late from Inna alhamdulillah. If you don't get the beginning of the khutbah, you're not going to enjoy any of the khutbah. You'll be like, as we say in Arabic, atrash fi zaffi, a deaf person in shu zaffi ya shabab, in a party. Targhib wa tankir, tadhkir bi ni'am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala al-muti'in. Now you need to enjoin that on people and tell them about the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start with targhib, not tarheeb. Tell them about the mercy of Allah. Tell them about the Jannah. We take a lesson from Mu'min al-Fir'aun. Look what Mu'min al-Fir'aun. Fir'aun wants to kill Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Undercover believer. Undercover believer. Because he's afraid that he will be killed. He wanted to enjoin good and forbid evil. If he says it publicly, he's going to get killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to kill yourself with enjoining good and forbid evil. And he wants to benefit. Look what he said. قال أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول ربي الله وقد جاءكم بالبينات من ربكم. You guys are going to kill someone just simply because he said Allah is my Lord? That's a scary one. Because Fir'aun said, I am your Lord. So he continued. وَإِنْ يَكُ كَذِبًا فَعَلَيْهِ كَذِبُ وَإِنْ يَكُ صَادِقًا يُصِبْكُمْ بَعْضُ الَّذِي إيش؟ يَعِدُكُمْ. Look, he said, if he's a liar, it's on him. If he's saying the truth, you will benefit from that. How come he didn't say if he says that truth in the beginning and then lie, he put lie, then truth? Because he wants to make it more secret about himself so they will not know him. He talked about lies first and then he said honesty. Because if he said, if he's honest, oh, how did you know he's honest? Okay, so he wants to make it even more secret that he is not a believer. Then he said, Ya qawmi lakumul mulkul yawm. O my people, you are rulers today. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to inflict you with a punishment, who's going to give you victory? He continued and continued and continued until he gave up. Gave up in the sense of what? Becoming undercover. Being undercover. It's time to step up and declare that he is a Muslim. It did not work with them, the secrecy. So he said, وَقَالَ الَّذِي آمَنْ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُونِ أَهْدِكُمْ سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ. Imagine. When he said that, if you look at those ayat, follow me, I will guide you to the right path. He told him about this life, how short, and how the happiness in this world is very little. And it is the best to get the rewards of the hereafter. Then he said, وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا لِي أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى النَّجَاةِ وَتَدْعُونَنِي إِلَى النَّارِ. What's wrong with you guys? I'm telling you, I'm going to take you away from the hellfire and put you in a safe place. And you're telling me, no, we want to be in that fire and you want to take me with you? Yani, what kind of reasoning is this? I'm saving you and you want to ruin yourself and ruin me with you? What was the end of that person? He died. But this is a choice. This is like the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The biggest strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to say a just word in front of a tyrant. That doesn't mean you have to say it, but if you have the knowledge and you have the guts and you're willing to give up your life for that advice, while you're doing that advice in the proper manner, then it will be the best death for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enjoin good. And he took that path. This is, you are allowed to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To say the word of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while your heart is content. But do you have to say it? No. If you don't say it and you die, it is the best death that you can. If someone comes and tells you, cuss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or I'll kill you. You have permission to cuss. And your heart is definitely resenting that. But if you say, shoot me, I don't care, I'm not going to say it. This will be the best path to take for a strong believer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that people differ with that. Therefore, he did not make it an obligation. He gave us a way out. Yasir ibn Ammar, he said something bad about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, say it again or do it again. If they come and tell you, do it again. Because he asked him, how do you find your heart? He said, very content with Islam. He said, if they do it again, do it. And that is يعني a permission from Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. طيب brothers, I want to give you one more inshallah and continue with, I mean stop that inshallah with one more. أن يتحلوا بالصبر. We said that every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he needs to be patient. He needs to choose the best words, the best admonitions. He needs to be an example by himself. And he needs to encourage people to look around them, look in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look in the proofs that he has presented them with the hadith or with the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that some of the messages, كُلْ مَا يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, who gives you the rain, who gives you the food, who makes you wake up in the morning, who makes your heart continues to beat, who makes you breathe all the time. Imagine sometimes just hold your breath for half a minute, 1 minute. What would you be willing to give if you lose your breath for a couple of minutes? You'll give everything that you have. But people don't think about that. You're breathing all the time. So this is a ni'mah that we don't thank for it. There is so many thousands times of breath that you take every day. Every one of those deserves alhamdulillah. But how many of us do that? So you need to always connect the person with the ni'am, because it is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. We like to thank, or we like the people who do good to us. So when we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all of this, we would like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are willing to fulfill and come to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, we conclude with the final one, is to be an example by itself. Look at Shu'aib. قال وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. He said, I'm not telling you to worship Allah and I'm going worshiping someone else. I'm not telling you that to be honest and I'm a big liar. I'm not telling you to follow the sunnah and I'm the farthest from the sunnah. He said, I'm calling you and I'm following what I'm calling you. So if I am taking you, definitely no one likes to harm himself. No one likes to go to hell. So if I am doing something based on proof, based on knowledge, then I'm following the right way, and that's why I'm calling you to the same thing, and you see me doing all of that. So these are some, and I say some because there are many rules and principles for da'wah, but some of those inshallah will be helpful for all of us to follow inshallah in our call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people who hear the good word, follow it, act upon it, and call for it. Other things, it's recorded. You can go to Imam Hassan Khalil.wordpress.com and listen to this lecture and other lectures. Or you can go to Sunnah with an H, S-U-N-N-A-H, sunnahfollowers.net, and you will find many other lectures there. You can watch. This is live. You can watch from your home, definitely. This is for the sisters. The brothers come to the masjid because they need to pray Isha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for everything. If you have any question, inshallah we'll take some questions.